Just last night, I had the opportunity to spend some time with the youth group, and in the middle of our antics, for reasons that I cannot now remember, even though it was just 24 hours ago, Joe began to recite the prologue to the Canterbury Tales. I don't know if you've ever, did you all have to memorize the prologue in Old English of the Canterbury Tales? Well, I told everyone there, every time I hear that, it sends a shudder down my spine. Because when someone begins to recite the prologue to the Canterbury Tales, it takes me back to my middle school classroom as I stood there in front of the class and I was supposed to recite it for the whole class and my mind was just blank as a sheet of paper. Whatever that aptitude is that allows people to memorize things, when I was coming down the assembly line, they had run out of that. Okay, I didn't get any of that. I cannot remember anything. People ask me, you know, what scripture verses have you memorized? You know, oftentimes I can memorize something and then the next day it's out of my brain. But there is one verse of scripture that has managed somehow to remain in my mind, and it's Mark 10:45, where Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus came to this earth from beginning to end to serve the people that he had made. Which, if you just pause to think about it for a moment, is extraordinary. The Creator came to earth to serve the ones he had created, to give his life for them. The Son of Man came to serve, and that's precisely what he did for his entire ministry here on earth, what he continues to do, even in heaven, even to the very end, as he was preparing to go to the cross, as he was preparing to be denied, betrayed, arrested, tortured, and crucified. Even there, as he knows that all that is coming down the pike, he is not concerned about himself, he's concerned about the people that he loves. And so there in that last supper that he had with the disciples, not thinking about himself, but thinking about them, he gave them a gift. Now this gift goes by many different names. Holy Communion, the Great Thanksgiving, the Lord's Supper, but it's all one and the same gift. And like all gifts and all blessings in this life, if we're not careful, we can begin to take those gifts for granted, can't we? And when that happens, well, we begin to rob ourselves of the power and the blessing that those gifts have for us, those blessings have. Well, just the other day, I read a news story. It's an old news story that, for me, brought back to life the reality of the gift that Jesus has given to us. It was a news story to me, but it's probably an old story to some of you all. Buzz Aldrin, as he was preparing for the first manned mission to the moon, decided that he wanted to do something, to prepare something to mark that momentous event. Buzz was an elder in his church, a Presbyterian church, and so he spent some time with his pastor trying to come up with something appropriate. Initially, Buzz Aldrin thought that maybe he would do something patriotic there on the moon as they sat down. But somehow everything that he came up with, it just seemed so trite. And even though, yes, it was a great achievement for the United States to put a person on the moon, it just didn't seem right to Buzz to be focused on just our nation alone. I mean, this was something that was going to affect all mankind. People around the world were going to be watching. He wanted to do something that was more universal than simply focusing on America. And so finally, with the help of his pastor, Aldrin settled on an act that was far more spiritual and universal. Now, it was not universal in perhaps every human sense, but universal in the sense that it would span across nations, it would span across cultures, it would touch the lives of persons from every language, people, tribe, and nation. And yes, it would even span across time itself, including generations who had died before and generations who had not yet been born. Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong had only been on the lunar surface for just a few minutes when Aldrin made the following public statement. This is the LM pilot, that is lunar module. I'd like to take this opportunity to ask every person listening in, whoever and wherever they may be, to pause for a moment and contemplate the events of the past few hours and to give thanks in his or her own way. Aldrin then turned off the radio communication, and this is how he described what happened next. There on the silence of that lunar landscape, 250,000 miles from home. In the radio blackout, I opened the little plastic packages which contained the bread and the wine. I poured the wine into the chalice our church had given me. In the 1/6 gravity of the moon, the wine slowly curled and gracefully came up the side of the cup. Then I read the scripture from John's Gospel. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me, and I in him, will bear much fruit, for you can do nothing without me. In this one act, Buzz Aldrin is reminding us of the precious gift that Jesus has given us. In fact, he is bringing to light why it is that this gift is known by three different names. The Lord's Supper. Isn't it extraordinary that the first food that Buzz ate, the first food that was eaten on the face of the moon, it wasn't space ice cream. It wasn't Tang. It was the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ. Now, I'm sure he must have been hungry. It was after an incredibly long day of work to get them there up on the moon. But he decided first not to meet his physical hunger, but first to feed his soul. The Lord's Supper. How often do we come up to this altar rail totally oblivious to the fact that Jesus longs to nourish us? He gave us this gift to nourish us with the reminder that he loved us enough to give his life for us. So that when we come to receive the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ, we would be reminded, I am loved, I am cherished. The Lord of the universe gave his life for me. He gave us this gift to remind us that one day through the gateway of death, a gateway that each and every one of us faces, that on the other side of that, that we will join him in a great feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb that he has prepared for those who love him, the Lord's Supper. He gave us this gift to nourish us with the reminder that he is in us and we in him. He is at work in us. There are times when we feel like, Lord, I don't know where you are. I don't know what you're doing. But this gift he's given us reminds us he's at work in you even now. And you are in him. You are in his hands no matter what you are going through. It's called the Lord's Supper because the Lord wants to nourish you. Holy Communion. Back on earth, Aldrin's pastor kept the actual loaf from which the little piece of bread had been taken that was packaged there on the lunar module and taken up onto the moon, so that as Aldrin was taking communion, his congregation back on earth there, the pastor held up for them this loaf of bread and showed the piece that was missing and said, while we are having communion, though we are separated by 250,000 miles through Christ, we are still one. We have communion with one another. That act of holy communion was symbolic of the communion that Aldrin had with his family back home, his church family, his brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus gave us this gift to remind us of two things. Number one, that even though our sin had separated us from God, through his death on the cross, we're back, brought back into communion with God, to relationship with God. And secondly, we are brought back into relationship with each other. You know, for Christians, our faith is not just, it's not just about me and God, but it's also about me and you. Jesus gave his life not just that I would have communion with God, but that we would have communion with one another, and that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'd be able to forgive one another when we hurt each other, that we could have fellowship together. Holy communion. When Buzz Aldrin was trying to figure out what to do to mark the occasion of the landing on the moon, he wanted to do something that would show God his gratitude. He wanted to say thank you to the Lord. Thank you for bringing me all the way to the moon. Thank you for your vast creation. Thank you for sending your son to die for me on the cross. And so what did he do? He celebrated the great Thanksgiving. To give thanks to God for the new and eternal life given to him through his son, Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, the great Thanksgiving. Beloved, on the night before he suffered and died, our Lord Jesus Christ gave us a gift. It is a precious gift. It's a powerful gift. It's a holy gift. When we come to this rail tonight, may we come to be fed. May we come to be reminded that we have been brought back into communion with God and that he calls us to be in communion with one another. And may we come with glad and grateful hearts and give thanks to God for the gift of eternal life. The Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, the great Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you know better than we know ourselves how even the greatest gifts and blessings can become rote. And so we ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit, that as we come to this rail tonight, we would receive the gift that you have intended, the gift of spiritual nourishment and food, the gift of communion with you and with one another, and the gift of joy as we give thanks to you for your gift to us. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.